Buddha, the word Buddha itself, of course, is a title. It's not a proper name. And it means one who understands, one who is wise, who is awake, awake to reality. But the Buddha is known by quite a number of other titles, and we don't always realize this. In the West, the Buddha is generally known simply as the Buddha, the enlightened one. But in the Buddhist scriptures, he's often referred to as the Tathagata. In fact, he is represented in the Buddhist scriptures as usually referring to himself in the third person as the Tathagata. There's a lot of discussion about the meaning of this term, and there are several different explanations. And there's more than one grammatical analysis of the term, but I won't bother you with this. It means, Tathagata means literally, he who goes. But it also means he who comes. The Buddha goes through wisdom. He goes through wisdom from the mundane to the transcendental. And he comes through compassion back from the transcendental into the mundane. He comes in order to teach, in order to show the path to liberation. He comes in order to instruct, inspire, fire and delight with a discourse on the Dhamma, as he does when he enters the assemblies of the Khatriyas, the Brahmins, and so on. The Buddha is thus the embodiment of both wisdom and compassion. He goes through the one, comes through the other. And this underlines the point, the fact that the Buddha comes through compassion. This underlines the point that Buddhism is not a cold religion, as people sometimes think. It stresses compassion just as much as it stresses wisdom. Tathagata has another meaning. Tathagata means one who acts as he speaks and speaks as he acts. This might seem a rather prosaic virtue, you know, nothing very exciting, nothing very exotic, but it's not really so, because we shall realize if we reflect a minute that our own words and acts are very, very rarely in anything like harmony. There's almost always a discrepancy, whether slight or great, a discrepancy between our words and our actions, our professions and our behavior. But in the Buddha's case, in a Buddha's case, it's not so. In him, speech and action are in perfect harmony. Moreover, they're in harmony at the highest possible, the highest conceivable level. The Buddha is an enlightened being, and he speaks and acts as an enlightened being. The Buddha is also known as Lokavidu, which means knower of the world. This doesn't mean that the Buddha is worldly wise, though, of course, one may also say the Buddha wasn't exactly lacking in worldly wisdom. It means that he knows the world, knows mundane existence as it really is. He knows that the world is transitory. He knows that existence involves suffering. He knows that it possesses no inherent reality of its own. And this knowledge of his, this knowledge of the world, is not merely theoretical. It's a matter of real understanding, real experience, and he therefore acts in accordance with it. We, of course, do not know the world. Worldly wise though we may be, we do not know mundane existence as it really is. We like to think that the world is permanent, pleasurable, and possessed of an inherent reality of its own. And because we think in this way, we tend to become attached to the world, very, very attached to it. We try to cling on to this or that aspect of it, and in this way we create suffering for ourselves and very often sufferings for others too. The Buddha is also known as the Jinna. Jinna means the conqueror or the victor. He's known as the Jinnah, not because he has conquered others, but because he has conquered himself. The Dhammapada says, the Dhammapada is one of the shorter and most popular Buddhist texts, the Dhammapada says, and it's the Buddha speaking, though one may conquer 1,000 men in battle 1,000 times, he who conquers himself has the more glorious victory. Another of the Buddha's titles is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who is possessed of all positive, auspicious qualities: compassion, wisdom, purity, generosity, and so on. And the Buddha is usually called Bhagavan, usually spoken of as Bhagavan or addressed as Bhagavan, when he is regarded as an object of devotion. And then there is the title of Mahavira. Mahavira means great hearer. Here, of course, we can see the quality of courage coming in. Great hearer. The Buddha is so called because he has had the courage to face the forces of darkness, the forces of evil, both within his own mind and outside. The Buddha is not a meek and mild sort of character. He was vigorous. He was bold. He was fearless. He was resolute. I rather shocked some of my friends a few years ago, I remember, another little anecdote, because they asked me whom I thought the Buddha resembled, among all the different historical characters, or rather, which historical character I thought most resembled the Buddha. And I said at once, Julius Caesar. And they were really shocked. But why did I say Julius Caesar? Why did I say that Julius Caesar resembled the Buddha more than any other historical character? Well, it was because of his promptitude and courage. If Caesar saw that something was to be done, I'm not speaking now whether it was ethically right or wrong, if he saw that there was something to be done, he did it. No hesitation, no delay, no shilly-shallying, no wobbling, no uncertainty, no doubt, no skepticism, no lack of self-confidence. He was an embodiment of self-confidence. So was the Buddha on an infinitely higher spiritual plane. The Buddha, we may say, don't misunderstand, don't take this too literally, the Buddha was the Julius Caesar of the spiritual world. So, and of course we mustn't forget that the Buddha had been born into a warrior family. He didn't have a bookish education. He didn't go to university. He couldn't even read or write. There's one incident in one of the Gospels where Jesus is represented as drawing characters on the ground in the dust. Yes, those who know their Bibles. But the Buddha isn't represented as being able even to do that. Because in the India of his day, there was no literacy. Knowledge, wisdom was transmitted by word of mouth. So the Buddha didn't have a bookish education. He learned the traditions of his community. He heard religious teachings, and he himself afterwards taught orally. The sort of education the Buddha had might even have shocked some of us. He was educated, apparently, in all sorts of martial arts, and was strong and bold and vigorous, and those qualities he directed subsequently into the spiritual path. In fact, once he told his disciples that they too were warriors. He said to them, disciples, what are you? He said, you're warriors. And you're warriors because you fight. You fight for ethics, sila. You fight for meditation, samadhi. You fight for wisdom, prajna. You fight for freedom, vimukti. So the Buddha was a hero, a great hero, a Mahavira. The Buddha was also called Lokajestha. This means roughly the elder brother of the world. He's called the elder brother of the world because he has been born before us, like an elder brother. Not born before us as a human being, born before us as a Buddha. And this suggests that what the Buddha has attained, we too can attain. At present, we are not Buddhas. We are unenlightened. But we can become enlightened. At least we can make progress towards enlightenment if we make the effort, if we tread the spiritual path, if we practice ethics, meditation, and develop wisdom and achieve liberation.